Welcome to the Dream Factory, a warm, cozy, and extremely lovely place where only the most visceral nightmares and pleasure-driven musings of its residents are mercilessly extracted and sold for the pure enjoyment of others. The Dream Factory, a new novel by Mark Marcus. Now available on your Apple device, Kindle, and on Amazon.com. Go to CandleShorePublishing.com/Dream Factory.
The past several weeks have seen another deadly outbreak of mass shootings by lone gunmen in their 20s on or near college campuses, part of an epidemic of senseless violence that's now occurring on a regular basis. It's become harder and harder to ignore the fact that the majority of the people pulling the triggers have turned out to be severely mentally ill, not in control of their faculties, and not receiving treatment. In the words of one of the country's top psychiatrists, these were preventable tragedies, symptoms of a failed mental health system that's prohibited from intervening until a judge determines that someone presents an imminent danger to themselves or others. And as we first reported last fall, the consequence is a society that's neglected millions of seriously ill people hidden in plain sight on the streets of our cities or locked away in prisons or jails. There's something eerily similar about the shooters, as if they were variations of the same person. All young males, often with the same glazed expression. Loners who exhibited bizarre behavior and withdrew into their own troubled world. They're often portrayed as villains, but Dr. E. Fuller Torrey says their deeds have much more to do with sickness and health than good and evil.
Every person I've taken care of, and I've taken care of several hundred of these people, had a very good reason for doing what looked to be crazy behavior. But in their mind, it wasn't crazy behavior. It was in response to something that was very logical that their voices were telling them or that their delusions were telling them.
Dr. Torrey is one of the most famous psychiatrists in the country, an expert on severe mental illness and a staunch critic of the way the country deals with it.
How much of these terrible incidents that we've had, these mass shootings, is traceable to deficiencies in the mental health care system?
Well, they're directly related. About half of these mass killings are being done by people with severe mental illness, mostly schizophrenia. And if they were being treated, they would have been preventable.
For example, before killing 12 people at the Washington Navy Yard last September, the gunman, Aaron Alexis, told police that he was hearing voices and being bombarded by strangers with a microwave machine. If he'd been transported to a psych ward, the shootings might never have happened. In 2007, Virginia Tech student Sung-Wee Cho was behaving so irrationally that a court ordered him to seek mental health care. The order was never carried out. Cho killed himself and 32 others. And before James Holmes dressed up as the Joker and shot 70 people in a movie theater, campus police at the University of Colorado had been warned that he was potentially violent. Holmes had been a brilliant graduate student there, studying the inner workings of the brain, until something suddenly went wrong with his. Dr. Jeffrey Lieberman, who is president of the American Psychiatric Association, says it's not that unusual.
You can be the most popular student, you can be the valedictorian of your class, and if you develop schizophrenia, it will change the functioning of your brain and change the nature of your behavior.
You could be completely normal at age 20, perhaps a good student or a gifted student and a solid citizen, and at 21 or 22 be psychotic.
Absolutely.
Dr. Lieberman, who runs the psychiatry department at Columbia University's medical school, says that schizophrenia has a genetic component and tends to run in families, affecting the way the circuits in the brain develop. You can see the structural abnormalities in a brain scan.
And you see people, a young adult with a normal brain, same age, who has schizophrenia, and you see that degenerative process has already begun.
This is really a disease of the brain, not a disease of the mind.
Absolutely.
It lies dormant during childhood and usually emerges in late adolescence and early adulthood, affecting perception and judgment. People see things that aren't there and hear voices that aren't real.
What's the nature of these voices, and what do they say?
Usually it's multiple voices talking about them in the third person as if they're not there. They may be saying, you're a horrible person, everybody hates you, the only way that you can justify yourself is to lash out at them.
How strong are the voices?
When they're at their worst, a person can't distinguish the voices from their illness, and they think the voices are part of them, and if they tell them what to do, they'll follow it.
And I hear a voice. It's a man's voice, and it's really, really deep. It's a really deep and scary man's voice.
Schizophrenia is more common than you might think. Several million Americans have it. 17-year-old Jacob Bowman has been struggling with it for a couple of years.
This is basically me on a bad day, I guess. Because I can't think straight. My thoughts are racing really, really fast.
He's dropped out of high school, lives at home under the watchful eyes of his parents, and rarely goes out because he thinks people are trying to kill him. He spends much of his time on social media. We found him on YouTube, where he shares his world with other young people who have the same symptoms. He wants them to know that they're not alone and that the voices and hallucinations are not real.
Basically, all my voices I have are voices of telling me to harm myself or harm other people or kill people. And that's why I think I need to get on medication, because I don't want to hurt anyone. And because I know schizophrenics aren't violent.
And he's mostly right. The vast majority of people with schizophrenia never show any signs of violence. Mike Robertson was 19 years old and away at college when he was diagnosed 3 years ago.
I felt like there was people around me, like bad people or nice people.
Even when there was nobody there?
Yeah. And that's what really got to me.
He told me over the phone, I feel like I'm going insane. I swear there's a bug in my head, and I just want to tear at my eyes and my skin and my scalp to get to it and get it out of there so I don't have to hear it anymore. Mm-hmm. Very scary.
Michael's mother, Linda Duran, brought him back to California and got him into treatment, which consists of regular therapy sessions and daily doses of heavy-duty antipsychotic drugs that stabilize him and help control the symptoms.
Clozapine, it's an antipsychotic, haloperidol. Cogentin or benzotropine, fluvoxetine or Prozac, lorazepam for anxiety.
They often leave him listless or groggy, which is one of the reasons people with severe mental illness often stop taking them.
I mean, a lot of people with your illness say the drugs make them feel worse. They just hate it.
Yeah. I can see that with the side effects, but it's better than having schizophrenic symptoms.
What worries you the most?
The future, and the future without myself being here, because I am Mike's caregiver, I am his advocate, and so if I'm not here, who will be?
It's a serious concern and a sobering thought, because it's estimated that half of the 7 million people in the country with schizophrenia and other forms of severe mental illness are not being treated at all.
This is day 10 now on my fast, so I'm feeling really, really good.
Dwayne Lucco is one of them. He spent the past 3 years on and off the street and in and out of jails and mental institutions. But he doesn't acknowledge that there's anything wrong with him and has refused treatment. He's been recording the events in his life to prove that he is sane and that the rest of the world is out to get him.
Do you have a gun at your home? Do I have a gun at my home? Yes, I have a gun at my home.
Okay, so it's a true statement.
There's a confrontation with police at his parents' home. In this full-blown psychotic episode on the top of Multnomah Falls in Oregon, in which he threatens to go over the side.
I come from the planet of Pluto. I'm here to protect this planet. I'm here to bring justice about. There is no justice. This planet is entirely corrupt. The FBI wanted to screw around with me. They didn't want to give me my ATM cards.
It really feels as though he's on the edge. It's pretty scary.
Dwayne gave the footage to his sister, Sandra Lucco, a documentary filmmaker who teaches in New York.
May the truth be known!
She spent years trying to help him.
On a certain level, this would make him crazy to think that the very thing that he thinks is going to exonerate him shows how crazy he is.
Did you have trouble getting him treatment?
Yes. A tremendous amount of trouble getting him treatment.
She's no longer sure her brother can be helped and has kept her distance ever since he sent her a threatening email.
He said that someone was going to come to my apartment with an AR-15, hollow point bullets, and spatter my brains all over my apartment.
Has he ever been violent?
Not that I know.
But you think it's possible?
Sure.
50 years ago, someone like Duane Lucco would have ended up in a place like this, involuntarily committed to one of the big state-run hospitals that were used to warehouse the seriously mentally ill. Documentaries like Frederick Weissman's Titicut Follies helped expose the dehumanizing conditions and led to reforms. One by one, the big asylums were shut down, and over time, a 500,000 inmates were released into communities to fend for themselves. They were supposed to be housed in residential treatment centers, medicated and supervised by caseworkers at walk-in clinics, but the programs were never adequately funded.
What we did is we emptied out the hospitals, and on any given day now in the United States, half of the people with schizophrenia and other severe mental illnesses are not being treated.
How difficult is it to get somebody admitted who does not want to be admitted?
Almost impossible in most states. The laws will read, you have to be a danger to yourself or others in some states, and judges may interpret this very, very strictly. You know, we kiddingly say you have to be either trying to kill your psychiatrist or trying to kill yourself in front of your psychiatrist to be able to get hospitalized.
If these people aren't receiving medical attention, where are they ending up?
Many of them end up homeless. Many of them end up in jails and prisons now. So this is a huge problem. Our jails and prisons are our main place now where you find mentally ill people.
In fact, by some measures, the largest mental institution in the United States is the Cook County Jail in Chicago. It houses the largest number of mentally ill people in the country.
This is a population that people don't care about, and so as a result of that, there are not the resources out there to care for them.
Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart is in charge of the jail, and he is not very happy about the situation.
I've got probably 2,500, 2,800 people with mental illness in my jail today. And you look at their backgrounds, they've been in here 50, 60, 100. We have some people who have been in here 400 times.
What kind of offenses?
Oh, my God. Retail theft is a norm, and usually it's because they're stealing something either to feed themselves or, frankly, they're stealing something because they just wanted it that second. Loads of cases of criminal trespass to land. What's that? They're breaking in someplace to sleep.
You're saying the prisons and the jails are the new asylums?
They're absolutely. There is no person that could argue otherwise that the jails and prisons are the new insane asylums. That's what we are.
Sheriff Dart has told guards and employees to videotape incidents so that he can show people what actually goes on here.
The videos we've shown people are to show them what happens when we take people who are mentally ill and we cram them into the criminal justice system where they're not supposed to be. And the irony is so deep that you have a society that finds it wrong to have people warehoused in state mental institutions, but those very same people were okay if we warehouse them in a jail. You've got to be kidding me.
Were you ever diagnosed with depression or bipolar disorder?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Every day, Ellie Montgomery, one of five social workers here, goes over the list of new inmates with mental illness.
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 with a severe mental illness.
Just this morning?
Yeah, just this morning. Severely mentally ill, not like a little bit of depression.
Most of them will be here for several days to several months, then released back onto the street with a packet of pills and no plan. Sheriff Dart says it's become a huge public safety issue.
It's been an epidemic of mass shootings, a lot of them by people with serious mental health problems. Do you think there's a connection?
Yes, I do think there are connections here because people, some are getting treated, other ones aren't getting treated. People are falling through the cracks all the time. And so to think that that won't then boil up at some point and end up in a tragedy, that's just naive. That's just naive.
We have a grand experiment, what happens when you don't treat people. But then you're going to have to accept 10% of homicides being killed by untreated mentally ill people. You're going to have to accept Tucson and Aurora. You're going to have to accept Cho at Virginia Tech. These are the consequences when we allow people who need to be treated to go untreated. And if you're willing to do that, then that's fine. But I'm not willing to do that.